Good morning. I hope you're doing well this morning. This is I'm fairly positive we have record attendance today, so thank you for joining us. Yes, praise God. You know, it's not all about getting people in the seats. It's about making disciples of Jesus. That's what we're called to do, and so that's what we're aiming to do here at Cornerstone Church. Yes, we did switch up the seats on you today. You know, sometimes it's a good thing to get out of our routine and get out of sitting in the same spot, although most of you are sitting in a similar spot to where you would have sat anyway. But it has been moved slightly to the left, probably, for most of you. I went through on Tuesday. Somebody said you had too much time on your hands, and I did. I went through, and I literally measured. There's 4 feet between in the rows. There's 2.5 feet from the front of your chair to the back of the person's chair in front of you. That's precision. And it's marked on the floor. So if they move, so Randy, if you move, you've already moved yours. You see the spot there? We know how that happened, Randy. Yeah, you haven't moved yours. I know Elizabeth did announce, but if you were not able to make it to a table gathering this past week to hear about Liberty and our what God is doing through this Liberty partnership, yes, I shared some last Sunday, but I want to share more details off camera. And so that was the purpose of the table gatherings. But if you did not make it to a table gathering, I just want you to come back. So we'll go outside for baptisms, and I want you to come back in, sit in the first few rows here. Got about 10 minutes. I'll do an abbreviated version of the hour-long thing that I did at table gatherings, but I'll do an abbreviated version. And the reason why I want you to know more information is because next week we are calling our church to respond. We are wanting to see who's willing to be a part of this partnership and how God's going to have you be involved in this. And so after service, I just want you for 10 minutes. I promise you they will not eat all the food in that 10 minutes. But if you have already been in a table gathering, already heard about the Liberty Partnership, you can go on over to the fellowship hall and begin eating. But we're going to have plenty of food. We done counted how many people's here, and I saw Kathy and Pat just left to go get to cooking. So we're going to have plenty of food. Today is Baptism Sunday. This is one of my favorite Sundays of the entire year. It's a important Sunday. We typically do it once or twice a year. But I want to just go over with you today what baptism is. And I've already kind of said this first point, but baptism is the public declaration of a private decision. Baptism is not the actual act of salvation. Baptism is actually the public declaration to all the world that you are a follower of Jesus, that you are a Christian, and that you're going to follow him for the rest of your life. In the history of this church, in the church, the baptism has been the thing that showed that you're a member of the body of Christ. And so, back going all the way into the book of Acts, if you were baptized, it meant that you were a follower of Jesus. So that means baptism is biblical. That is debated in some circles, but it is definitely biblical. It's definitely there in the Bible. Baptism actually has pre-Christian roots. John the Baptist, or the baptizer, he was not the first Baptist. He was John the Baptizer. He was baptizing people in the Jordan River. And his baptism was what we would call a baptism of repentance. That's what Luke says in Luke chapter 3, verse 3. It says he went in all the hill country around the Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The idea around John's baptism was that it was representative of how you have been washed clean, that you are choosing to leave that old sinful life behind and to follow God. And so those that were coming to John were saying, hey, I don't want to live that way anymore. I want to be clean or set apart for God. John's baptism actually pointed to a greater baptism. John said this in Luke 3:16, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Basically, he was saying, hey, my baptism is pointing to a greater baptism that is to come. And we know that Jesus was ended up being baptized by John. Jesus set the example for us. But then even in the book of Acts, at the end of Acts chapter 2, after Peter preached this big sermon, Peter tells everyone that's there, 3,000 people, he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." They had 3,000 people respond that day. And Peter says, let's cap this celebration off with a public declaration that you are a follower of Jesus. So that's what baptism is. It is a celebration of what God has done. A celebration that by the grace of God, that God has changed us. That we have experienced that transformation. And so as we prepare to celebrate the baptism of some of the individuals in our church today, I want to go over three things that are declared through baptism. And if you were here last year at our baptism service about a year ago, these three things are going to sound similar, but God led me to preach the same message again. The first thing that's declared through baptism is that you are a part of God's kingdom. See, what many people don't understand is that before we have come to faith in Jesus, we were a part of the kingdom of the world. There's only two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of this world. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:1 that once we were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, who's the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He's the spirit at work in the heart of those who refuse to obey God. Paul says, hey, you used to live this way. You used to be a part of the kingdom of this world. You used to follow the ways of this world. You used to follow the devil, who is the spirit, what Paul says, he's the spirit that is still at work in those who are disobedient. So whether we realize it or not, we belong to that kingdom. We were playing for that kingdom, for that king, for Satan. And today, everyone without a relationship with Jesus is a part of that kingdom, whether they know it or not. We are part of that kingdom by default. That king has a king just like the kingdom of God does, but that kingdom's king is Satan. The name Satan or Satan means adversary. He is both God's adversary and our adversary. The kingdom has a way of living just like the kingdom of God does, except the way of living as part of that kingdom is the way of sin. And so Paul tells us that when we were members of that kingdom, we were slaves to sin. We had no choice but to live in a sinful manner. And that kingdom has come to bring chaos and darkness and destruction. And that's exactly what we do when we sin. We create chaos, death, and destruction. And we live in a world today where that kingdom seems to be running rampant. We have temptations all around. We have the devil making his appearance felt in more and more ways. And of course, we have what's called our fleshly nature that has led us to sin. But the way Paul describes this is that we had no choice but to be a part of that kingdom and to follow the ways of that kingdom. In fact, Paul says we were dead in our sin. And when you're dead, it means you can't change. You literally have no power. But then I love what Paul says in Ephesians 2:4. He says, but God. Anytime you see a but God in there, that means God's getting ready to do something big. He says, but God, who is so rich in mercy, he loved us so much that even though we were dead, even though we were powerless because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. What God has done is good news. He has made a way for us to be a part of a different kingdom. He has made a way for us to be a part of his kingdom. We don't have to settle for that kingdom of destruction and death and pain and suffering. No, we can be a part of a new kingdom. where God is the king, where God reigns. Paul also describes this as this in Colossians 1:13. He has rescued us. He has taken us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus. He's a good God. We could not choose which kingdom we became a part of in our own power. So it was by God's grace that he empowered us and enabled us to make that choice. But you have to make that choice. You become a part of God's kingdom by choice. He's invited you to be a part of his kingdom, but you have to choose by making him your Savior. Which is the part that we love. We love to be saved from our sins. But what you want to understand today is that part of making him your Savior is also making him your King. Of no longer being a slave to sin and a slave to Satan, but becoming a slave to righteousness is what Paul says it. We are no longer slaves to sin. Romans 6:11, if you ever... I'm going to hit on Romans 6 a few times today, but that's like the baptism chapter that where Paul talks a lot about baptism. But it says Romans 6:11, so you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. He has made a way for us to live, no longer slaves to sin, but set free from sin. Romans 6:18, you are free from your slavery to sin and you have become slaves to righteous living. We can live in a right manner before God. We can make this world a better place by being a part of God's kingdom, not a part of Satan's. So when we baptize people today, when they go down in the water, that represents that the person who used to be ruled by sin, who used to be a member of the kingdom of darkness, they're gone. In fact, Paul says that person's dead. Their past way of living, their sin is buried in that water. They are washed clean. And they arise a new person following the ways of Jesus. But now that doesn't mean that your life's going to be easy from here on out. Living as a member of the kingdom of God is tough because our sin nature is still there. We still live in a world that is ruled by Satan with temptations all around. But that's when we rely on God. The one who saves us. And going back to what Paul says, it was by his grace. He empowers us to live in obedience. Romans 6:10 through 11, then verse 13. It says, when Christ died, he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you should also consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. You're part of the new kingdom. The second thing that we declare through baptism is that we are a part of God's family. Before Jesus, before we came to faith in Jesus, we were probably a part of a few families. We probably had an earthly family. Everybody came from somebody. Now, some people didn't have a good earthly family, or they might have had an earthly family, but they didn't have a great relationship with them. But most of us have our earthly family. But what we don't realize is that we were also a part of Satan's family. John 8:44, we read this verse a few times in the last few weeks, but Jesus is talking to some people and he says, hey, you are children of your father, the devil. Now, if the devil's a father, it means he has a family. You are children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He describes him as a murderer from the beginning. He's always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies. Satan's a bad dude. Satan is evil. And his children follow his ways. Goes back to the king and kingdom concept. His children tend to follow his ways. Those that live in sin, they belong to that family. And Satan, he actually trains you as a father would train his child. He trains us to follow his ways. 1 John 3:10. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. He wants to work through the people of this world to create chaos here on earth. And I could go and tell you he's worked through every single one of us at some point in our history. Because we all were once dead in our sins, dead in our transgressions. And he had working through us to create chaos and destruction in this world. And I can tell you that being a member of Satan's family is not good. It leaves you feeling alone, like no one cares, because Satan don't care about you. He just wants to use you. He doesn't care about your feelings. He doesn't care about your life. He just wants to use you to make this world as bad as he can. Another thing I think that describes people of this family is that they're anxious. They're constantly worried. And anytime we're anxious, it means that we feel like there's a threat or there's something going on. So we are always feeling this anxiety like there's something wrong. There's a threat that we have to respond to. There's no security in that family. And then I think eventually it leaves us angry. Because we realize that we are only adding to the chaos in this world and the darkness in this world. And then we become angry at ourselves, but eventually you stop turning to yourself and you start getting angry at other people, and it creates more chaos, more destruction, and we see this going on in our world today. There's no benefits to being a part of that family. Now, Jesus provides us with a family. Provides us with an opportunity to become a part of a different family. Ephesians 1:5, Paul says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So the one who created the cosmos, the one who created everything, he had planned in advance to invite us into the family. In fact, Paul says, this gave him great pleasure. It pleases him for you to choose to be a part of this new family that Jesus is forming here on earth. God made a way for all of us to be united under God. One of the great things about this family is this family is diverse. We don't all look the same. Back in biblical times, it was the understanding at first that Jesus only came for the Jews. But then they begin to realize that Gentiles or non-Jews could also become followers of God. And so Paul says in Ephesians 2:19, you Gentiles, you're no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. You could put any other word in there. Hey, you people from this country, you people from that country, you people with this background, you people that have this preference. You are now no longer strangers and foreigners. You are now a part of God's family. People in God's family, they look different from each other. They like things different from each other. We are different, and that's a good thing. This family is a place where you can belong. It's a place where you are secure in the love of our Heavenly Father. You might feel alone sometimes, but the good thing about being a part of God's family is that you never are alone. Not only is God always with you, but guess what? God's family always loves you. The people in this church love you and would be there for you no matter what you're going through. You have a place where you have a new family that's united under our Heavenly Father. You are a part of a family where you are loved unconditionally, but also truthfully. You're loved in the way that God loves you. That brings you into a closer relationship. You are loved by people that ultimately want good for you. Aren't you thankful to be a part of the family of God today? There are people in the world today who are craving real love and real relationships. There are people who are craving attention. They're craving authentic community, but they're looking for it all the wrong places. Since the advent of social media, that's exactly what it's made for, is for attention, for us to get attention. Very rarely do people post the bad parts of their life on social media. They post the highlight reels. They post the good things because they want the attention. They want the likes. They want the comments. They want the retweets. They want whatever else, whatever social media platform you're using. And then we have people who are searching for that community, that authentic love and relationships. They're searching for it in bars and clubs and all the wrong places. And part of that is because the church has not always done a great job of loving them. Part of that is because the church has said at some point, you've got to check off these boxes before we'll ever love you. And that's not the way of God. When people walk through our doors, we need to show them the love that God has shown to us. And it's unconditional. It doesn't say check off these conditions. It says come in and be a part of the family of God. We're going to love on you. We go about it the wrong way a lot of times. In our world, we try to do whatever we can to make people love us. And we search for the love in the wrong places. But what ends up happening is we leave empty. And we leave craving more. But God's family is a place, or it should be a place, that you can belong in. It doesn't matter what you've done, who you have been, or how messy your life currently is. All that matters is that if right now you have decided to follow God and are committed to following God for the rest of your life, all that matters is that you have been transformed. And if you are a follower of God, our Father adopts you, which means you're our brother or sister. Being baptized today, those that are being baptized today are declaring that they are part of that new family. And when you are being baptized, you are symbolically uniting yourself with Christ and his death and resurrection. In Romans 6, 4 through 5, Paul says, "For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we've united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was." So what you're saying is, yes, I've experienced death to my old self, my old way of living. I am leaving that in the grave, in the pool, and I'm following God. I'm united with Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun." That means God's family is made up of new people. New creations is literally what Paul says. We have been made new. And we're following God together. So if you're being baptized today, you're declaring that to the whole world. When you come up out of water, it represents the new life you have in Christ. And the last thing is this, baptism declares that we are a part of God's team. And this is where I want to preach a little bit. There is a war going on right now between two teams, two armies, two kingdoms, however you want to frame it. There is a war going on, and it's not Ukraine and Russia, it's not Taiwan and China, it is the forces of darkness versus the forces of God or the forces of light. And we, as people living in this world, are caught in the middle of that battle. In fact, that battle is over you. That battle, they're fighting over your hearts, over your lives, over your souls. The devil, his goal is to stop as many people as possible from going over to God's side. His goal is to keep as many people doomed for death and destruction in a place that we call hell. But God, on the flip side of that, he wants as many people as possible to have eternal life. He wants to bring as many people as possible into his kingdom. And every person, whether they're aware of this war or not, they have already decided what side they are going to be on. When we're not followers of God, here's how Paul describes our relationship with God. He says in Romans 5:10, he's talking about our friendship with God. It was restored by the death of his son, so that while we were still enemies, he defines it right there, that before we were followers of Jesus, what were we? We were enemies of God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be an enemy of God. I don't want to be on the wrong side of that. But those that do not know Jesus, those that are not following Jesus, they are playing for Satan's team. They are fighting for Satan's kingdom. He is using them as pawns in this war. And our sinful actions are actually part of the game that is being played between God and Satan. But luckily, the good news, as it has been all day, is that God has made a way for us to join his team. He's made a way for us to switch teams. So now, when you follow God, guess whose team you're playing for? You're not playing for Satan and his army. You are now fighting with the army of God against the devil and the evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Here's how Paul says it. He says, our battle is not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. We're not fighting against people. We're not fighting against Russia. We're not fighting against China. We're not fighting against our enemies in this world. No, our fight is against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against the mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. When we choose to follow Jesus, that's who we're fighting. In fact, Paul says elsewhere, and I think we have it a little bit later, but Paul says that basically you get a target painted on your back when you begin to follow God. So those of you that are being baptized today, don't be surprised if you've already experienced some spiritual warfare, or you will coming out of this, because what you are doing is you're telling all the forces of darkness in this unseen world, you are telling them, hey, I no longer fight for your side. I fight for God's team. I'm playing for the other side. And so you know what they say? They say, well, I don't like that. And I'm going to paint a target on your back, and I'm going to come after you. I'm going to try to take you out. But what you're declaring today on your shirt says, I have decided to follow Jesus. It means you decided to be a part of God's team. Which means our aim as members of God's team is to thwart the enemy's plans, to create as much chaos in the gates of hell as possible. As with any team, we're trying to win the game, which means you're trying to bring people into the kingdom of God. We had a general superintendent one time that says, our goal is to depopulate Satan's kingdom, to depopulate Satan's zip code. How do we do that? How do we fight on God's team? Well, I'm going to tell you this, it's not with guns, it's not with swords, it's not with any of the weapons of this world. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, the weapons we fight with have divine power to demolish demonic strongholds. Paul, when he's talking about this in Ephesians 6, he tells us that we need to put on the full armor of God. That is our spiritual equipment that we are fighting with. That is our gear to fight in this war. And then, in Ephesians 6, he talks about prayer, which is ultimately where that battle was fought. There's probably all types of warfare going on around us right now that we can't see with our human eyes. In fact, I'm not even going to say there's probably. I guarantee you there is fighting going on. In fact, that some people that, and you know, take this for what it's worth, but some people that have been able to see into the unseen realm has seen that, like, when we have church services, that the forces of darkness are all around just trying to create chaos. And God is sending his army of angels to hold them back. And one time someone saw like light going up from the church building up to heaven as we worship God together. That's a picture of what is going on right now around us. Do I know that's true or not? No, but I do know that there is an unseen realm where there are demons, there are forces of darkness who are coming against you, who want to take you out. There are forces of darkness who are wanting to distract you right now. There are forces of darkness who are wanting you to live in sin. There are forces of darkness trying to speak doubt into your mind. But ultimately, what we have to choose to do is choose to follow God. And if we choose to follow God, we fight God's way. We fight with the spiritual weapons he gives us so that we can do battle. Ultimately, though, how we fight is to follow God, to lean on him, to pray for him to work, and to live in obedience to him. So those that are being baptized today, they are declaring that they are a part of God's team. Peter warns the disciples. He says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That's the picture that Peter gives us, is that the devil is lurking in the shadows. He's lurking in the grass, and he's looking for someone to be weak in the moment so that he can devour them, so that he can take them out. And so those of you that are declaring that you are part of God's team today. I was reading a book this past week, and he started talking about baptism a little bit, and he says, when you get baptized, it is a declaration to the world that you're a follower of Jesus. But we often forget the declaration in the spiritual realm that you are no longer a part of that side, that you are part of God's team. And it infuriates the devil. I can guarantee you today that the demons and the forces of darkness that are around our building, that are around us, those of you that are being baptized today, you are making them angry as all get out. And that's a good thing. They hate it. But it's good for the kingdom of God, and it's good to bring other people into the kingdom of God. And here's the spoiler alert for everybody. God's team wins. Romans 20:10, let's just remind the devil of his fate. This is John seeing into the future, and he says, then the devil who had deceived them, us, was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet, and there they will be tormented day and night forever. The devil has lost. It has already been written. It's already been spoken. It is something that will happen. It just not has happened yet. But what the devil is doing now is he knows that his time is short, because he knows that this is what's going to happen. He's going to be tormented day and night. So he is fighting that much harder to win people over right now, because one day it'll be too late. One day he won't be able to fight anymore. One day we'll live in the freedom that God gives us without those temptations. So those that are being baptized today are declaring to the world that they are on the winning team. Victory is theirs. They have won victory over death and sin and over darkness, and they will be a part of the winning team at the end. They will have eternal life. So my simple statement to you is, welcome to the team of champions. All of this happens that we've talked about today comes when we come to faith in Jesus. So let me talk by giving you this image. We've talked about three things today, and I want to represent those three things with the crown, the table, and the jersey. Those of you that are being baptized today, and by the way, if you had not planned on being baptized today, we do have towels for you. We can get you some shirts, and you can be baptized today. Don't wait another moment to declare which team you're on. Those that are being baptized today, you are choosing to follow someone with the crown. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. You're no longer following the prince of this world, as the Bible describes him, Satan. You are choosing to follow God. And God, he invites you to the table, to be a part of his family. He invites you to a different table. The other table that you're sitting at, I think about a lunchroom at school. The other table you're sitting at, you're sitting by yourself. Satan says, yeah, I'll be there in a second, but then he ends up leaving you alone. God's inviting you to this table that's full of good food. He's inviting you to a feast, and he's inviting you to great fellowship with him and with other believers. And ultimately, though, what you're doing is you're putting on a different jersey. You're saying, I am a part of a different team. And I'm choosing to follow God. So if you're here today, you now have a choice. Which side are you going to be on? Which table are you going to sit at? Which king are you going to follow? No one else can make that decision for you. You are the one responsible for that decision. And my prayer today is that you will choose to be a part of God's side, that you'll choose to be a part of God's team, and that you will choose to publicly declare that today through baptism. So, like I said, if you had not planned on being baptized today, we have some t-shirts, we have some stuff that we can give you. We can baptize you. We've done this before. Our first baptism service was in 2016, and we had probably five people that did not plan on being baptized got baptized that day. However God leads you, I want you to be obedient to his spirit. Declare today which team you're a part of. And let's celebrate with those that are going public with their faith today, that are declaring to all the world, both the unseen world and the seen world, that they are a part of God's team. Let's pray, and then we'll dismiss to going out to the baptismal pool. Lord, as I come to you in prayer today, I thank you for this opportunity for us to gather here together. And Lord, I've got to believe that you have been speaking to hearts and minds today, that your spirit has been stirring in their hearts, and that you are calling them to respond. Lord, if there are people here who have not made a decision to follow you, Lord, I pray that they would make that decision today. And Lord, I pray that those who are going public with their declaration, Lord, that you would bless their lives, that you'd help them to follow you for the rest of their lives, and that they would live in such a way that brings you glory and that brings other people into the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be obedient to what you're leading us to do and continue to use us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can head out either door, this door, that door, that door. Stay on this side of the baptismal pool. And those that are being baptized, you can kind of stand over to the side.